Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be together.
Amen.
What a week. What a week. Things are kind of a wild situation. Just when you think, you know, some of you have lived a few years and you think you've seen it all. You haven't, right? This is quite a deal that we're going through, and we all have, I think, a little different take on it, and everything from, you know, what's really, how dangerous is this and how not dangerous is it. But I do appreciate Jim's words on the Lord's Supper. Boy, that's food for the soul. And we sang a song just a moment ago, how we need to be in God's presence. This is special to be together. And obviously, you want to be here.
Yes.
And I do too. And if there comes a time we can't be here, we will really miss being in this room together as a group. And rightfully so. That means this is important to us. People, you know, some people, as you know, are freaking out about this corona deal. And, you know, some are not at all. And I'm calm. I'm cool. I don't wig out over these kind of things. In fact, if you want to know, you know, I was out yesterday running some errands, and you know, I don't know what you were doing yesterday, but if you want to know what I look like, what cool under pressure look like, this was just a quick picture of me yesterday after running some errands, come home, and did you know? I don't know if you knew, but you can't buy these face masks. Don't even go try to find one of those. And but you know, you use what you have, you do what you can, but be calm, stay calm, okay? And so I don't know how you are about this. I was talking, some of you might be like Stephanie, my wife. I was talking to her about this, and I said during the week, I said, you know, after spring break, I kind of think it won't surprise me if they close school for a couple more weeks. I bet they do that, And so she said, well, why would they do that? And I said, well, the coronavirus. And she looked at me, and she said, what's a coronavirus? So you may, if you don't watch the news at all, a coronavirus is, anyway, ask somebody on your way out. They'll tell you what the coronavirus is. Turn on your television. It is, in all seriousness, it's good to be smart. You know, Jesus said to be wise as serpents, innocent as doves. So using common sense and some wisdom, there's nothing wrong with being smart and taking some precautions. And at the same time, we also turn to God for our strength. And our faith is in God. And He is in charge. And so that's where we find comfort. But I would remind you to pray for those who are the most vulnerable. Because some cannot afford to be sick with something that might be worse than the flu. And so we do care about those who have even more reason to be concerned. So we have to admit, though, in our lifetime, it's a little unprecedented. I never knew that our size congregation would be really important. We're right about 250, and they say, you know, there's some encouragement, no gatherings over 250. So, I mean, we're nailing that. And I just think that's awesome. So, but precautions are being taken all over the place. All kind of things are being closed. I never thought about needing a replacement for toilet paper. And I just received a text that someone older than me said pine branches can be good for that. I don't know. I asked some young folks, some generation Zers, I asked some of them the other day, you know, what the old folks did instead of toilet paper, and they didn't know some of you old folks never had toilet paper and had any other. Anyway, I won't go any. My mother would wish I would stop talking about toilet paper. But anyway, it is just unbelievable our world today and how quickly things change. And so we will march along and try to be wise, and yet we'll also try to have some wisdom and some confidence in our God who is sovereign over all. And I ask that you know, I know you've heard from from different people. Most of you do, take in the news somehow, and you receive information somehow about what all is going on and who thinks this. But I ask you to think a little differently this morning and consider a few things, and then we'll really get into what God thinks about the coronavirus. One blessing, you know, a few blessings can come from this, and one is this gets us out of our rut of living like this world is our home. Because if I ask the question, is this world our home or is the next world our home? We would all say the next world is our home, right? We know the Bible. We know that that's a Bible question. That's a preacher question. We know the right answer, but do we live like this world is our home? And the truth is, so go with me for a minute. If this world is all there is, if there's no life after death, if when you're dead, that's it, there's nothing else, then yes, this is something to be concerned over. I mean, big time concerned over. If this is all we get, then what if my life ends? That is the most tragic, right? Because this, if those things are all true, but they're not, and we stand firmly on the fact that that's not true. This world is not my home. This world is not all there is. In fact, this world is a brief moment of time compared to eternity. And our home is down the road. And Hebrews 13:14 says it like this. Here on earth, we do not have a city that lasts forever. But we are looking for the city that we will have in the future. That's a way of saying this is not it. We kind of get lulled into a sense of kind of into a false way of living. And we do tend to live like this is all there is. And we think of dying as the worst outcome. And yet we know, as spiritual beings, our soul is eternal. And death is not the worst. And oftentimes, and on the other side, I think we'll look at death differently. We'll wonder why we hung out here so long. We'll think, man, I wish I could have finished this chapter sooner and been to the next. Eternal matters are what we need our focus to be on. And this is a good scripture to remind us. A blessing out of a scenario like we're experiencing now, another blessing is that we would focus on Jesus more. Maybe this will be a catalyst to me getting in the Word of God more. Maybe this will be a catalyst to me praying more. Maybe this will be something that we anchor to God more and learn to trust more. And the fact is, if you stay with Jesus, you'll be fine. If you want to know what to do about the coronavirus, go to Jesus and hang out with Him. Amen. Just stay with Jesus. You're good. You'll figure everything else out. Everything else will be okay. That's what God's answer is to us. And so I would also, I want to mention that this is interfering with some of our plans. I had a concert I planned to go to next weekend. It's been postponed. I have a lot of sports viewing on television that is gone now. I can't watch that. I plan to do that. That's a part of my life, right? Some of you can't go do something that you enjoy doing, something you plan to do, and this may change even more plans.
That's right.
When life changes our plans, how upset do we get? And then that's a way that we are shown, maybe I anchor too much to my plans. Maybe I live a little too much for my plans. Maybe I live a little too much like this world is my home. And so to have our plans shaken up, it's kind of good for us once in a while, isn't it?
Yeah.
To be reminded, that's not really what's important. I would encourage you to focus on people. People are important. We are learning to greet differently. And so well put by Jim that we're trying to greet and get away from each other. It's weird. We're being weird. But this is what it's brought about. But people are important and we need each other. It's important that we understand that people are eternal. And none of this is. This virus is not eternal. None of the things we hold dear are eternal. Your 401k is not eternal. There are hardships that we may endure due to this. Some may lose jobs over this. And we would sympathize with that, but all of earth's struggles are temporary. And the eternal matters are what we really need our focus on. What if you have a loved one who becomes ill by this, and we could even broaden that and say ill by anything. But what if you have a loved one that does catch the coronavirus and dies as a result? Our concern at that point should be our concern every day, because our concern at that point better be, were they ready to meet Jesus? Were they ready? That's the question. And if I'm concerned if they were about to die, were they ready? Why am I not concerned when they're not about to die? And that's what Jesus tells us, that he will come again like a thief in the night, that we are to live every day ready. And we should be concerned about all of our loved ones. Are they always ready? Because death is tragic for us, and we grieve and we miss our loved ones, and it's very, very difficult. But the most tragic is when a soul dies not ready to meet its Creator, because they've not been walking with God in Christ. So, people are important. We need to think about people more than we have in the past. We need to... it may be that some tune into our live broadcast. I know a number of people are watching from home this morning. And we praise God together with you. But there may be some that will tune in now. Some may have an interest in God and eternity and salvation and spiritual things that they were not interested in before, because they were just too much living this life for earthly reasons. And so what a blessing it would be if you have a friend, neighbor, or family member who this becomes a catalyst to them wanting to draw close to God. And if they come to you and say, hey, I know you go to church, where do you go? I've been thinking more that I need to get right with God. Those kind of things are what we pray for, right? We might be praying that God would extinguish the coronavirus, and God might be trying to save souls with the coronavirus. You ever thought about that? And so, yes, pray for God to help us, but bear in mind that what you think might help us, God may realize that's not going to help us with what we really need. So, I'll leave you and I'll share four things today that I think God thinks about the coronavirus. And the first one is, God would say, don't fear it. Because Jesus said in Luke 12:4, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body. The coronavirus is not a person killing the body, but it is an illness that does kill the body. And Jesus said, don't worry about those things. Verse 5, but I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he is killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So coronavirus is something to be concerned about, but God reminds us, again, the greatest tragedy is not someone passing away, it's someone passing away unprepared to meet their Creator. And so don't fear it. Number two, God would tell us, he would tell us to trust in him. And this is a message Jesus had for his apostles right before he was to leave. He is going to be crucified. He raises from the dead. He lives about 40 more days and goes to heaven. But he tells his apostles, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. A few years ago, the elders and ministers went to a lectureship in Lubbock. And so went down to congregation there in Lubbock and spent a couple days there. And Bob took us in his plane, and we flew down there. And as a rule, I don't have a fear of flying. I do have a fear of falling, and I do have a fear of dying. But I don't, for whatever reason, I don't have a fear of flying so much in large planes, although I am aware that I'm in the air, which is not real. You know, legs were meant to be on the ground. But anyway, I have a real seriousness about that. But in a smaller plane, my fear is greater. Okay? Right, wrong, or other. And I have a feeling the truth is wrong. I probably should be less fearful even in a smaller plane. I don't know, but I am. And so, but I did have some, I had some trust in Bob. I became a little nervous when I was asked how much I weighed and felt like I needed to give an honest answer for that. If you know anything about planes, small planes, and how all that works, they want it balanced. Do you know why they want it balanced? Probably flies better. Do you know why else? So if the engine dies, we can glide better to the ground, right? That's a true statement. Is that true, Bob? There's some truth in that, isn't there? Could be. So I had to give a legitimate weight, you know, and but I had trust in Bob. I know he's a good pilot, and I had trust in my seatbelt. Trust me, it was buckled, but my true trust was in God. Amen. That was where my, so with this, do you trust, I don't know if your trust is in the CDC, if it's in the media, if it's in, you know, a doctor friend that you have, that you've talked to, where is your, if it's in quarantine, wherever your trust is, those, to do smart things is smart, but don't trust in that. That's not what we anchor to. And God would say to us, trust in Him. If you're turning on your television every, you know, 2 hours because that's where you're finding some comfort, that's not the place. Find your comfort in God. Number three, God would say, your battles are not earthly. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Well, this virus is a flesh and blood deal. It is. And can I go to the store in a couple days and get toilet paper because we ran out, which we're not going to, folks. We've got some at our house. But if I didn't, can I go and get some? We worry about that. In fact, our society in this day and age where news travels so fast, something as, you know, did there really need to be a rush on toilet paper? Honestly, the reason I bought extra, I knew that, Disney's shutting down. All these concerts are shutting down, so economy's hurting. I wanted to help. I mean, somebody needs to make money, so I wanted to help the toilet paper industry. That's what I was doing. I was putting money into the economy, okay, church? But that's not, you know, our struggle is not earthly. It's not. It's not, our struggle is not coronavirus. And God would, His message for us would be, that's not your problem. This is not your real problem. But our problems are spiritual. The other night, we were here on a Wednesday night, a couple Wednesday nights ago. Some of you may remember this. So we were here early, and I was walking around, and I was doing what I do, getting things set up. And so I had a pep in my step, focused on what I was focusing on, and the Futz two girls, Presley and Brady, were here, and they were running around doing what kids do their age. Their focus was a little different than mine. But anyway, so I'm buzzing around, and they said something, and I didn't understand. Then they said it again. They said, look, look. And they were pointing out the windows to the sunset. And if you remember a sunset a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night, it was amazing. It was really a rare sight. Even as it got more dark, as it got darker, it just got more amazing to look at. And so I stopped and walked over to the door and was able to see what a child could perceive, because their focus is not what an adult's focus is. And the fact is, we get focused on the wrong things. And we may be really dialed in to news right now to see, because this thing's changing by the hour. So it's, if nothing else, it's entertaining, you have to admit. But we are dialed in to information, and God would remind us, church, that's not your struggle. Our struggle is a spiritual struggle. And so the last thing, the fourth thing I would say God would say about the coronavirus is every earthly struggle is a spiritual test. It's a spiritual pop quiz. So consider, I have two scriptures to consider. James 1 verse 2 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials. So pause there for a second. Is this coronavirus a trial? I would say so. Some of us, the thoughts crossing our mind, you know, what do I do? What's our plan B on toilet paper? What do we do if we can't go to this event or that event? How do I do child care if my kid's not in school here in a week? I mean, we've got things we haven't thought of. It is disruptive to us, is it not? To the point that we even as a church have to think about, do we meet, do we not meet? How do we do different things? It's a trial. Are we joy? Do you find any joy in this? So God says, count it joy. Why? For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If we were to answer the question, how would I lack in nothing, we might give, if we weren't, you know, in a church setting, we might give answers like financially, my health, my relationships. These would be ways, right? If we could orchestrate our life, if we really had full control, we would like our finances to be very secure, our job, our family, relationships. We'd like to have security in all those things. That's not what God tells us is secure. He talks about lacking in nothing. It's a spiritual thing. But I want you to hone in on these two words, testing and faith. Trials test our faith, don't they? Where's your faith? As the world panics, what does the church do? So flip to 1 Peter and notice that this passage in 1 Peter is very similar. So I'll go through this first part quickly. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. And that's what we're after, is to be people of hope. We live hope. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. We live our hope. But here's what compares to the previous scripture. In this you rejoice. So remember James said, count it all joy. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. Are trials hard on us? Yes. And the more difficult they are, now Paul's talking about persecution that would bring us into great grief. But we've been grieved by trials so that the tested genuineness of your faith, and we have three words in these two passages that mirror each other. The first one is joy, or rejoice. And I encourage you to find some joy in this messed up situation. And then these other two words, the testing of our faith. Every earthly struggle is a spiritual test. It's a pop quiz. God is looking. That's what life on earth is. This is my gift. I get to live my life to its fullest, right? That's a message the world screams. God says, your life is a test. I just want to see if you love me. I just want to see if you'll be true to me. I just want to see if you'll be faithful to me. And the only way God can do that is to allow us some trials. The coronavirus did not surprise the Lord Almighty. It didn't. He's not surprised by it. He has allowed it. Why has He allowed it? He's given us a pop quiz. Like every other trial we have, it's a pop quiz, church. Where's your faith? If we panic, like, oh my, what am I going to anchor to? I'm trying to grab to something, like I'm falling. You ever had a dream where you're falling, you wake up and you shake? I'm falling, I need to grab onto something. What are you grabbing onto? It's a test. And I'll admit, I don't know how well I did on that pop quiz this past week. I go all around. I have my personality, which sticks my head in the sand that says, I'm not freaking out. That's my go-to, first of all. But yeah, I can worry just like anyone. How are we doing on God's pop quiz? So a scripture to leave you with. Psalm 27, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Do you know my Jesus? That's a great thought. It's always a great thought, but man, with what's going on out there, this is a great thought for today. Do you know my Jesus? If you have a need this morning, something we can help you with, If there's someone here who's never put on Christ in baptism, had your sins washed away, we're ready. We're ready. Don't put it off. Let us help you with that today. Come while we stand and sing.
Have you a heart that's weary? Yeah.